from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Good to have you along on this weekend, winding down April, heading towards May. Many of us shelter in place under the governor's order. Many of us taking to the banks to do some fishing, maybe to the woods for turkey hunting, getting ready for morel season here in Michigan, if it ever warms up a little bit, just a little bit. That's all we're going to need to get out and find morels. And it is, as hunters and anglers, we are good with social distancing. We know a little bit about it because I don't want to fish next to somebody, and misery loves company. And you know what? If that guy's not catching anything, I don't want to be near him. So that's just my view of as to how good it can be to be distanced in a social manner. I want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns for bringing the show to you once again. NotJustGuns.com is where you can find them. Also, our friends at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, our most recent group to come on board with us here. And we'll be talking with them next week on the show, find out what's going on with them, and also our friends at Conquest Sense. Now, if you hit us up on our Facebook page, you saw in Pennsylvania where they are trying to ban deer urine products. And, you know, look, the ATA-approved things like Conquest Sense go through very stringent rules to manufacturing and processing and the health of their herd and everything else for containment. So look into this stuff and watch what other states are doing, because they could that could affect us in the near future or in the distant future, however it is. But we are fortunate at least to have a group on our side, a group that's been around for a very long time. I'm talking about the MUCC, the Michigan United Conservation Clubs, and I have the executive director, Amy Trotter, longtime friend on the show. Hi, Amy, how are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me.
Sure, it's a busy time for you. Aside from, like you said, aside from the family with the girls and everything else going on, we have a lot of things going on. MUCC, always busy. And this is not some new organization, first and foremost. You guys have been around watching out for sports persons in the state, hunters, anglers, and you know, just people of the outdoors recreational mindset for many, many years. Tell us a little bit about MUCC, if you would, please.
Sure. Our organization was actually founded back in 1937 by a group of rod and gun clubs who really came together. They were not liking what they were seeing, actually, in Lansing back then, and they realized they needed a stronger voice to represent the collective interests of hunters and anglers, recreational shooters, and other outdoor enthusiasts. So it's 83 years old. We have definitely changed over time, but still our mission is very much focused on uniting citizens to conserve, protect, and enhance Michigan's natural resources and our outdoor heritage. So both, you know, helping to protect and defend our rights and interests as sportsmen and women, but also the natural resources on which those depend. So both things are very important, and you'll see that in all of our activities through this organization.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it's as times have changed, the numbers have gone down from these rod and gun clubs that have been around. There are still, you know, a few around, and a lot of them have had long-standing traditions within their communities, but you know, it's not, things are not the same. We don't have the time we used to have because workloads are different. You know, families are dual income now, and so much takes up what used to be free time. I'm not saying our grandparents and parents worked any less. Practically, they worked a heck of a lot harder than I ever will. But things have changed, and this is where we really need to be a part of this. And I say this, self included, to keep, because we can't watch everything, and this is what you guys are doing.
Correct. We have 200 affiliate clubs still throughout the state. These are both those local rod and gun clubs I mentioned, but also a lot of the statewide and national interests that have a strong interest in what we're doing here in Michigan. So the statewide and national groups like Pheasants Forever and Tucks Unlimited are also members of MUCC, and we work together with all of those groups. You know, Michigan has probably more fur, fin, and feather interest groups than any other state in the nation. And what MUCC can do is really look at those collective interests of habitat, of conservation, of hunting and fishing, and bring all of those interests together under our big umbrella.
You know, and the one thing, too, I want to point out, Amy, what a lot of people don't think about is this is not a political driven group. There is no defined lines. And I say this a lot, when we are in the outdoors, it's not about politics. It's not about what side of the aisle you're on. It's about enjoying what we do out there. I mean, look, there's a lot of us out there with varying opinions on politics, as what's going on in the country, in the state, and locally. But when we're outdoors, it all kinds of seem to go away. And that's what I like about, you know, the one thing that I've always loved about this is it's not like that. It's not like, you know, watching the TV, deciding which news channel you're going to believe.
That's right. We are a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization, so we don't engage at all in electoral politics or candidacies or anything. Unfortunately, we're always neck deep in policy, but we have the benefit, as I like to say, that we're not red, we're not blue, we're camo.
Right.
And we can really work with all sides of the aisle on issues of interest, and that might be something more environmental related from time to time to protect wetlands, to ensure that we have ducks to hunt, or that might be, you know, like we're dealing with right now in terms of defending what we believe is an unconstitutional order here in our state.
Absolutely. Amy Trotter, the executive director with the MUCC, joining us here on Wild Michigan via the Conquest Sense hotline. Amy, when this first came out, look, we all have been floored and sheltering in place with the COVID-19 coronavirus, not only in Michigan, across the country, across the world. But there seems to be a few things that really kind of make me tilt my head when we have a governor that says, no, you cannot go out and ride your motorcycle. No, you cannot take your electric motor, boat with electric motor or with a gas motor out. But hey, by all means, take out that kayak or the canoe. Okay. A little concerned about that, because aren't we getting gas in our cars anyway? And that's not limited. And you can't tell me every kayaker and canoeist is, portaging and then putting in from some shoreline someplace. You know, I'm a little confused about that. You guys want to take action about, like what you said, is unconstitutional.
That's right. So when the newest executive order came out on April 9th, we saw, just like everybody did, that, again, the governor had reiterated her earlier statements that outdoor physical activity was important and encouraged. And, you know, we very much agree with it. It is important, especially in these times, to have that as an outlet for exercise, for your mental health, just for recreation and boredom. People are off work, so they need an outlet, and the outdoors is a great place to do that. What we didn't expect is about 24 hours or less later, an interpretation to come down that is very different than what the actual executive order says. So the executive order says that the exceptions to all the travel rules is that you can engage in outdoor physical activity as long as, again, you're remaining 6 feet from people outside your home, and that physical activity may include walking, hiking, running, cycling, kayaking, canoeing, or other similar physical activity. So where is the information there that says motorized boats are illegal?
All right, hang on to that thought, because we're going to go into the break real quick. We're going to come back and ask that question, and maybe, hell, we're not going to get an answer. We're going to find out what the MUCC is doing about it. Amy Trotter is our guest here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Good to have you along. Be brought to you by Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. They are open. They are limiting people in the store because it's a pretty small footprint with a lot of cool stuff in it. And you can find them online, notjustguns.com. And don't forget, Wednesday night auctions are still going on. They're still taking care of people, doing things, and getting your purchases out to the FFL places. If you have to have your gun shipped, they will get that to you as well via their online auction. So check them out online, notjustguns.com. Amy Trotter, Executive Director of MUCC, joining us right now. And Amy, you posed a very good question in regards to what the governor said in regards to, you know, no electric, no gas motored, gas powered boats on the water. So, I mean, you can fish from shore, keeps your social distance about a rod's length, when we talked to Dan Eichinger here a couple of weeks ago, which was a really good analogy. You know, if you're going to fish the piers or the shores or whatever, keep about a rod's length distance between you and the next person, because, you know, we know the steelhead are running, we know the salmon are coming near the piers right now, and you want to get out there and fish, but do it safely. But what we don't understand is why not electric and gas boats. We're getting out. We're getting gas in our cars. We're using all of the same docks and piers and places that kayakers and canoers use. So, again, you guys kind of put your foot down and say, this is unconstitutional. And I'll let you take it from there because you have action in place.
Correct. And I want to be really clear that MUCC very much supports the necessary social distancing that we just talked about. We do not believe people should be having party barges, multiple people from different households on a boat. We need to, you know, exhibit good practices out there. That is first and foremost, because we do sympathize with everyone that has suffered losses throughout this great pandemic. We are in uncharted territories. However, we cannot simply stand by and have an executive order be enforced through a frequently asked questions document that has no legal standing. And that's where we've been challenged. Our members have been given warnings. There are a few that have received tickets for motorized boating since this order has been in effect. And there is no law that can defend that enforcement activity because, like I said, the executive order does not say the word motor or does not say the word boat. And so we believe that it is unconstitutionally vague, meaning that people have the right to know what the laws of their state are, and they should be able to have, any reasonable person should be able to understand what would be illegal and not illegal. And when you read that order, that's where all the confusion is because you read that order and you don't see motorized boating being illegal there. And that has, you know, certainly created a crisis for us in trying to educate and deal with this and to try to get ahead of it. Now, we have seen that there is some local law enforcement that are just choosing not to enforce that interpretation, and probably rightly so. However, the state of Michigan, the DNR, the state police are still enforcing it, and there are some local jurisdictions that are probably still enforcing it as well. So we can't in good conscience say, just go out and use your boat anyway. We cannot do that because, you know, frankly, we can't afford to defend everybody, and we need to go take this to the courts appropriately so and state our case. So we have asked for an immediate injunction that was just filed on Tuesday. And, you know, we are waiting to have a hearing on the case that has been scheduled, unfortunately, not until April 29th, where we get time in front of the judge then to defend our side of this issue.
Amy Trotter's our guest here, Executive Director with MUCC. You know, Amy, we've never encouraged illegal activity either. Always, always, always abide by the law. and use good judgment and common sense. And again, you know what? This is so frustrating for so many. And I can see where those who have gone out and have gotten ticketed were saying, you know what? We're not going to stand for this. But again, that's an expensive ticket. What is it, $1,000 was the fine? And, you know, will it hold up? Who knows? You know, at this point in time. So,
but, and most people can't afford to, have a lawyer and take it to a court, navigate that entire process on their own. So there are some individual fishermen who have joined together in similar lawsuits, they are pursuing their own path as well. We are taking it from an organizational standpoint with many members and, seeing how we can get this through to a decision. Unfortunately, it's not going to be in time for walleye opener.
Well, right. You know, but I've already talked to people and they're like staying on the banks, sleeping in cars, and they're going to do their fishing from the shore. And that's no joke. I mean, I can name a few people right now that are heading to Saginaw just for this weekend and to get out there. But, you know, again, social distancing, keep safe and, you know, be careful when you're out there, if you're staying places like in your car or whatever. But, again, this whole thing, you know, and it looks too, as it stands, that she may extend the shelter in place order. So, you know, look, I'm doing my part, you know, doing everything I can to stay healthy, stay safe, as is my wife and family and everything else. And as I told you off air, my daughter turned 21 at her place in Davison. You know, I didn't even get to see her on her birthday, but, you know, there are rules and we'll follow them. Plain and simple.
That's right. As an organization, we believe in scientific management. And we, you know, do trust the experts that are saying, you know, this distancing and some of these measures are absolutely necessary to, help our hospital systems out and to really reduce the scope of this pandemic. So we are understanding of the situation we're in. But at the same time, again, the outdoors are safe. We all know that. And there are responsible sportsmen and women around the state who are going to abide by those social distancing rules. But again, if a person can't walk out their back door to their dock and get on their boat and go fishing with their dog or their daughter, we've got a problem.
No, I agree. And, and look, for the people that own, that are fortunate enough to own and worked hard to own their vacation properties on lakes and things of that nature, you know, it's frustrating. I mean, I'm not one of them, but I feel your pain anyway, because look, we want to get out. We want to recreate. Fortunately, fortunately, it's been a pretty cold April for the most part. So we're kind of doing our thing, sitting still and waiting for things to happen. But turkey season is going on right now. You can get out and do that. We're going to be morel hunting. You can do your fishing from the bank. And, if you got a kayak or a canoe, do that as well. And maybe with the help of the MUCC, we'll get our boats back. Doggone it. We'll fix the damn boats, Amy.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate your hard work. We really do. And I think we will re-air our talk with Dan Eichinger in the next hour of the show so you can find out exactly what his end of things is with the Michigan DNR. But Amy Trotter, as always, thank you so much for joining us from the MUCC here on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time in a state.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks so much to Amy Trotter, Executive Director of the Michigan United Conservation Clubs, joining us here on the show, talking about their lawsuit going into, heading to court, saying it is unconstitutional for the governor to say that we cannot use our boats on the water, you know, within reason, of course, within you can social distance on a boat, on a 12-foot boat. There's plenty of room between you and someone else. And, no party boats and things of that nature. No multiple family people on the boat, or as far as different families. You know, common sense is what it takes to get through this, and we will get through this. On a sad note, real quickly, I want to pass along that a good friend of mine, Darren Arians, a former program director here in Lansing at the classic rock station I work for, and a damn good guy, well known in the radio industry, and friend. We lost him this week to the, oddly enough, the COVID-19 virus, and the very first person I knew directly lost to this virus. But again, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family and his friends, and we will continue to go on, and we'll continue to do our due diligence to keep ourselves cleaned up and safe and get outdoors and enjoy it. And with our good friend Andy Provenzano on the line right now on the Conquest Sense hotline, we're going to find out how the weather is going to be, what kind of pattern we can look for the spring as we get ready. I mean, we're fully into turkey season right now, getting ready for the walleye opener, and we want to get out. We want to enjoy what's going on. We had the really warm weather in the beginning of April. We have now turned to snow and cold. And Andy Provenzano from WILX TV 10 joins us right now. A weather pro joins us. Andy, how the hell are you, buddy? It's been a while.
It's been a long time. I'm doing great. How are things there?
Doing well, man. We want to get outdoors. I mean, the turkey season, look, turkey are going to do what they're going to do regardless of the weather. The biggest bird ever taken was in a light, misty rain. I worked my tail off to get that bird. But it happens because it is their mating season right now. They're not affected by this weather. They will go on. But we are a bit more genteel when it comes to the outdoor weather and wanting to get out and hunt and fish. And what happened? What's up with this curveball we've been thrown?
You know, it's kind of a pattern that was going on started way in the fall, all this shifting, like a two-week shift back and forth, because you'd be watching this cold weather on the other side of the hemisphere, and then about 2 weeks later, it'd be on top of us, and so these patterns of changing the jet stream kind of the north and then back to the west out of the north has brought the cold air back. And gradually, what's happening is sun's out now a long period of time up in Canada, and that air is moderating, so it's not as cold, but still colder than normal. Some of these days have been 20 degrees below normal. We're supposed to be 61. We can't get there yet. We're just chasing normal. Normal keeps going up, and we're slowly getting close to it. I don't see us in the 60s until maybe the mid to later part of next week. So on the cool side, that's for sure.
I'm pretty glad.
Pattern will change. It's a little more fluctuation. And with warmer weather building in the Plain States, all we've got to do is turn the wind to the south, and we'll have a gorgeous day. That's been a hard feat to do here lately.
I'm pretty glad you said next week, because I was so scared about next month. I'm like, are you kidding me? No, next week. That's good. That's good for me. But it's been strange. I mean, we had the fall last year was weird. I mean, look, normally in the fall, I've got plenty of time to get the leaves off of the yard because I live in a very wooded area in Holt, and I got a lot of hardwoods on my property. Man, I tell you what, I just now got 3/4 of the yard done with the leaves from last year because
we had that early hit of snow, and that put an end to that yard, was for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was every 3 days we were getting, you know, something weird. We'd dry up, and then all of a sudden, boom, we'd get wet again, it's snow or rain. But how is the spring looking? I mean, because I know there are models you guys have to look at, and I've learned this stuff from you, and to predict that far out with these patterns would be almost impossible, but there are trends that you can see, I'm sure, that give us a little bit better than average idea.
A lot of this is climatology, in other weather history. In other words, the last time we had a warm winter, wet early spring, all that, what happened after that? And you go back and you just research all of those things to see 80% of the time this followed suit or that followed suit. And that usually holds pretty true. I mean, the numbers are pretty close to repeating themselves. We have a lot of computer models. I know people have been hearing that word model. In my opinion, the model is not what it's just to help you be you. I look at a dozen models a day for the weather forecast, and I don't just put my hand on one and go, okay, this is going to be what's happening. I went to school to understand the atmosphere, so I have to look at all these and go, I'll take a portion out of that and a portion out of that because I think I've seen this happen before, and then you come up with a forecast. So the look ahead here short term, let's go out half a month, go into the middle of May. We're still pretty chilly here, but running below average, just a little bit, maybe 5 or 8 degrees a day through the rest of this month and probably into the first few days of May. But the heat's building out west, so that will eventually come east, and it looks like that starts to happen in May to get back to normal and then have some big days. I see probably by the first 2 weeks of May to start seeing that really warm air come over the top of us, and that will start shaking everything up and getting back to normal now. Talking about history, coming off of a winter like we just had, a lot of times you find above normal temperatures for the late spring and summer, and find maybe more 90-degree days. We average around 7 here in Lansing. Grand Rapids is about 8 or 9, and you get north, they're about 5. And I think some of those might be doubled. We could have a lot more 90-degree days. That seemed to be the pattern after these warmer and wetter winters. So summer looks to be, including second half of May, going a little bit above normal and keeping that through the most of our summer, at least through the end of July. However, it does look a little bit wetter than normal. So that does happen. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to rain every day, but it just could give you some wetter storms. You could have a day where you get an inch of rain and then not rain for 4 days. So that's the history, that's the climatology of the pattern we just left behind and what's expected to come our way. But as looking at the maps here for the end of April, other than maybe getting the sun to pop out the warmest into the 50s, we still are going to be running a little bit below normal and with a little bit of rain.
Real quickly, Andy Provenzano is joining us here on Wild Michigan. Andy, you know, with this shelter-in-place order and everything that's been going on, I've always watched, let me backtrack a little bit, I've always watched how the leaves come out on the trees because I never want to miss it because, you know, you look 1 minute, they're not there, the next minute, boom, they're there. But now, since everything's been at such a slower pace, at a standstill, are we on track with things as far as, you know, because I'm waiting for my tree to bloom out back and it looks like it's just taking forever, but here we are only really 3/4 into April.
Yeah, you know, I think we always rush our upcoming seasons, but the leaves I've noticed over the decades, most of the time it's a mid-May kind of affair for trees. But our bushes, our lilacs and things like that, they're probably a week away from being into full leaf, and then you got to worry about, you know, the blossoms and then the flowers and all things like that. So I would say we're on track. The only concern they've had statewide, especially on the west side of the state, has been with the early heating that we had. You know, it seems like every week we get a couple of 60-degree days or something to that effect, and that earlier warmth put a lot of the orchards into a rapid growth mode, and they have major concerns a couple of times, hard freezes, and that it has affected the peaches and the apples and maybe to a larger extent, grapes and blueberries. So some of those bushes and things like that advanced along a little farther. Blossoms, when they freeze, that means you lose the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a concern. But no, I think we're okay. We get a couple of really warm, sunny days, and I think we'll see a lot of things popping, that's for sure.
All right. Andy Provenzano joining us here from WILX TV 10, the meteorologist. We're going to talk more and see how this summer could be affecting our antler growth with Michigan's whitetail herd. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at United Deer Farmers of Michigan. They've got a great website. Check it out. It is the truth about CWD.com. And they've been updating things into CWD research here in Michigan. The United Deer Farmers of Michigan, a great group, working together with sportsmen to find answers about CWD and, of course, putting out some great, great whitetails as well. Andy Provenzano joining us here, meteorologist for WILX TV 10 and a longtime friend of mine and of the show. Andy, right now, I mean, look, we talked to Amy Trotter from the MUCC about our no motorized boats on the water order that is going on. It seems unconstitutional, but soon enough we will be back on the water in our boats, in our doing some fishing, doing some trolling, getting out. And air temperature and water temperature can be two different things. Now, for walleye, we like that 50-degree water temperature. If we're out trolling and you know, fishing for them, that's a great start for the walleye in the spring and early summer. But how different, I mean, is it between the air and water? I mean, how long does it take the water to kind of come up to that temperature? And right now, as you mentioned, they're just getting buoys out onto some of the big waters, and we're starting to get those readings of water temp now.
Yeah, you know, it's a lag, always is, heating and cooling for that matter. Really, the big influencing factor to a lot of those big lake and even small lake water temperatures is how cold we get at night. So you can build in a nice sunshine, start heating, and then go back cold again at night and drop those temperatures. I've seen readings pretty much 43, 45 across Lake Michigan, Lake Huron. A little warmer in Lake Erie, as always, there's a shallower lake, and still in the mid-30s up in the UP, which is obvious for that reason. There was no ice on it, so the temperature started to get moving pretty good, but now we've kind of held off here. But once we get into more sunshine, it'll start going up quicker, and obviously our peaks of temperature in a normal summer come into late July and all of August when you start finding those readings that once in a while will even poke their heads into the 70s. So the warm-up's beginning. It takes a little lag there. I think that magical 50-degree temperature is probably reached in Lake Erie for walleye already, as you find a lot of thermals in the lakes this time of year. You know, the really cold air, depending on the wind direction. And being on this side of Lake Michigan, and your prevailing wind, your common wind, is out of the west of some form, northwest, west, southwest. So we're fortunate to get the warmer top water to hang around our state a little more often. But you shift the wind to the east like it is today, and you bring all that warmer weather back to the other side and get what they call upwelling, and so you get the cold temperatures right back again. And that happens a lot this time of year, so you get those big shifts. But we're getting there really fast, I think, on some of the big lakes. You can find those 50-degree temperatures and then some soon.
Andy Provenzano is our guest here on Wild Michigan. You can find us at wildmichiganradio.com. Find our podcast there as well. Andy, we had a number of years back, there was a big panic about the Great Lakes drying up. I mean, water levels being at an all-time low. Now they've gone way up, and people were panicking about how much water was in the Great Lakes. But we didn't freeze over this year, so we probably lost a little bit of it throughout the course of the wintertime. How are the lake levels looking, water levels looking right now?
When you read the Army Corps' reports, and a lot of people that will report on lake levels always talk about record levels, but they're talking about the individual months and not necessarily the overall number. And I think that's what we look, most of us want to know, is this the highest the lakes have ever been? Well, for certain months, like this month in April, they say that Lake Michigan and Huron, which is the same water basin, is running about 14 inches above what it did a month, the same month last year, and those kind of things. It's, that gives you an insight. But in the rapid snowmelt, that's what really jumps lakes up. So in a normal whole year, you freeze up the lake as much as you can, you dump snow on it, and then when it all thaws, you get a quick rise in the lakes. And then through the summer, you evaporate it away, and it starts to go back down, and you repeat that process. Well, this year, not much ice. There's only 11% coverage on all the Great Lakes this winter. So a lot of open water, but we did add some storm systems here and there. So I think in the whole, the levels had just remained at a high level, fluctuating a little bit. You count on going into the next several months with a lot more evaporation, especially if it gets hotter. But the levels are still up there as they were last year. It's a cyclical pattern. We'll see it drop. It's a matter of time, and it'll come down quicker again like it did before. When you look at the amount of moisture that's inland, and then you pick the state, Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, there's a lot of water still being dumped into the Great Lakes, even though we didn't have a lot of snow cover. All our rivers were running high for the last several months. They're starting to come back down. So it's a gradual process. And you know, my father, 60 years ago, bought a family cottage in Wisconsin that sits right near Lake Michigan. And well, I watch it a lot because this is a concern. Ice shoving did some damage to people's homes, those that had ice because the water level was higher, those kind of things we're keeping an eye on. But I've been I would think, and I've had this feeling for a while, that we're going to see a slow decrease, even though you might say, okay, it's above normal precipitation. But now it's the race of how much evaporates versus how much goes in.
Mm-hmm.
And one big storm system of heavy rain and a front and all that is a momentary shift, because you'll just go right back again and that water will displace. But if we end up with a month of February where it's storm after storm after storm, yeah, then there's not much evaporation and you do go up. And that's really what caused the turnaround of the lakes. There weren't that normal cycle, didn't happen. It was a very, very wet summer and fall. And so you just kept putting more water in. So if we get a hot summer, that should start to level it out a little bit, maybe give some people some breathing room and drop it a touch. So we'll have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, it was concerning. And to only have, like you said, 11% coverage on the Great Lakes versus the year prior, where everything was covered up. It's just been, you know, I always believe that things are cyclical and it will balance itself throughout time. I'm not an expert by any stretch, but that's what it looks like, you know, as an observer from a distance.
You know, there's research on it that proves that people that had tracked how the humidity increases from year to year to year and then starts to come back down, and how there's a correlation between that. Obviously, more moisture in the air, greater cloud cover then starts to diminish the amount of precipitation you make, and then that can affect the lakes. So there's a lot of variables in there, but there's research that goes back and shows that curve up and down, up and down. I used to think it was a 30-year curve, maybe it might be more of a 40-year curve, but it's... When I grew up on the Great Lakes, they were really low, and then they shot up in the 80s, and then they got really low not too long ago. So it happened before. Look at all those piers that all of a sudden started showing up that nobody even knew they were there.
Right.
And now every pier we have is near underwater.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, look, people are going to panic either way, but you know, I'm just going to sit back and watch. And again, we appreciate you coming on the show here. Real quickly, Andy Provenzano from WILX TV 10, a meteorologist, joining us right now here on Wild Michigan. Real quickly, you had made mention about some 90 degree days. Are we looking maybe June, maybe July, August-ish? Because I think about antler growth with deer needing that hot weather and good moisture to get a premium antler growth. Because, I mean, it's like they're like radiators, you know, with their antlers and their ears and stuff. According to Doug Roberts, good hot summers produce lots of antler. And I didn't know if it was going to be an early or a late heat with that.
Well, you know, it's easier to hit 90 degrees, believe it or not, and when you get to mid to late June than it is in the month of August. A lot more humidity around the midsummer, and when there's more moisture in the air, it's a lot tougher to warm it. That's why places like Miami never hit 100, because it's just too humid. When you look at the number of 90s, usually you get quite a few in a warm summer in the month of June and carrying into July. But still can pick some up again through the month of August. So I would anticipate seeing the 90-degree temperatures late June through the month of July, like a normal hot summer would have, or at least an above-normal summer would have. So it would be probably an early onset of 90s just because of the lack of humidity. Those June days can heat up so quickly when you've got one with bright blue sky and you can touch 90-plus a lot easier.
Well, that'd be good. That'd be good to know, because that's prime antler growing time right there. And for those of us who have trail cameras out, well, it's going to be a good thing to watch. But as always, man, we appreciate having you on the show. Andy Provenzano, WILX TV 10. You can pick up the podcast on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Thanks to Amy Trotter, executive director of the MUCC. And as mentioned, we will rerun our interview with Dan Eichinger, the executive director of the Michigan DNR, in the next hour of the show. Andy, brother, appreciate you as always.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll do it again come summertime. Find out what it's going to look like for late summer and fall here. Thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 of Mason, notjustguns.com. Conquest Sense, makers of Evercalm and VS1, and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan as well. On the Michigan Talk Network, we are Wild Michigan.